Blog Talk Radio.
Man, thank everybody for seeing the Blog Talk Radio this morning. Hey, man, we are about to get started off today. We want to welcome everybody to Wednesday. Blog Talk Radio. I hope you're well. I look at the people. Hey, momentarily, praise God. Hey, man, we have a good time in the Lord on the day. Praise God. We just wait on the day. Everybody else to join. We don't want
recorded. Your line is muted. Press star 6 to unmute your line.
Praise God. Thank God. Praise God. Thank God for a wonderful Friday. Amen. This is Friday. This is the day that the men will come up and step up. And I just thank God for the men today. Amen. So, Father God, we are thankful today, Lord, you brought us together again, Lord, to give all the honor, to give all the glory, give the praise to you, Lord, because you're Lord, you're God, you're the one, Lord, that sits in the surface of the earth, Lord. You are all powerful, all knowing, Lord. There's none like you. Hallelujah. There's none before you. There'll be none after you, Lord. Lord, we know that you are God all by yourself. And we want to thank you today, Lord, for we realize it's in you. We move and have our beings. And Lord, it is you that woke us up this morning, Lord, as we slept in slumber last night, Lord. You caused us to arise and see another day that we never seen before. Thank you for this day, Lord. And as we come to you, Lord, we say, give us this day our daily bread, Lord, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, Lord. For you're the one that delivered us. You're the one that died for us. You're the one that shed your blood for us. And you died in our place so we can live in your place. Thank you, O Lord, for your undying love. And, O Lord, we want to thank you for blessing this line and all that come, Lord. May something be said, O Lord, to give glory and give honor to you. And, Lord, what you've done for them. And, Lord, to let them know that, Lord, you'll do the same for others. And so, Lord, we appreciate you, O Lord. And we come to say thank you for blessing us today on this line. And all glory and honor and praise is in Jesus' name. We pray, we say amen, and amen, amen. God bless you, amen. We want to thank you, amen. We're just going to start off. After a while, we're going to just give a scripture, and then we're going to get a song after this, amen. Praise God. We think about Revelation 12 and 11. It says, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so this is how we overcome. We overcome through our testimony. And God allowed us to go through things, allowed us to experience things, so we'll be able to testify of his goodness. And amen, if you never had a problem, amen, you would have never known God could fix it. If you had never got into a situation of life, amen, you would never know that God could turn it around. So God allow us to go through things, amen, so that we would have a testimony of his goodness. And so thank God for his goodness. When we think about it today, you know, we say, I heard Brother Jake saying the other day, he said that we'll masculinize the women and we'll feminize the men. And that's not the way God wanted. God wanted the man to take charge. God wanted the man, wanted man to rule the earth, amen. And he made man first. He made man first. And he made us first, amen, to establish a foundation, amen, that it would be the men. He was concerned about the men because all genealogies and everything is most of the time about the men. It is the man that runs the home. It is the man that leads the family. It is the man that's supposed to be doing all of the things that is being done, but we have changed it. We have changed that. And so today, you men on the line, amen, we want you to speak up. We want you to talk up, amen. It's because we want everybody to know, amen, that we are here to give glory to God also. In the book of Malachi, amen, praise God, amen, that God said, I'm going to send Malachi 4 and 5, it says, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the
line unmuted
back to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I smite the earth with the curse. Amen. So he said, I got to turn the children's heart back to the fathers. And that's what God wants us to do, turn our heart back to him. But not only that, he wants the father's heart to be turned back to the children, lest there be a curse. Father has to get back in place, because most of the curse that you see upon the earth, the curse is because the fathers are not in their place. Amen. When we look at the homes today, there's no father in the home. Amen. And the young men, young women run wild because there's no authority. God made the man the authority figure. And because God made the man the authority figure, in other words, we're saying there's no authority in the homes anymore. This is why we got young boys and things on the street. Amen. They're trying to find their identity. They don't know their identity because their father wasn't there to give them an identity. And so they're trying to feel their way because they haven't been taught the way. And so thank you, men, for standing up and being who God called you to be, especially the man that stayed with his family and raised his family. And, you know, everybody ought to be able to just say, if you got a husband that stayed with his kids, amen, you ought to be able to just say amen just for that. You should be able to say amen for him staying there, doing what it is that he did with the whole world against him, with the world against him. And then it gets sometimes it gets where even the family is against him or the wife is against him. Men have a hard time, and we need to stand up, men, and show our strength and show your strength that is in the Lord. It is God that gives us the strength to be able to do what it is that we do. And because of that, we got to stand up. We got to get back in place. Not against the women, amen, but what I'm trying to say, the women don't mind talking. And the women, if you won't do it, they don't mind doing it. If they don't have no man to do it, then they'll jump right in and do it. But one thing about the woman, one thing I say about the woman, amen, the woman can't teach a young boy how to be a man. I know everybody say they can, but I know some of you done a good job. Amen. Praise God that you stood in there and did the best that you could, but you still can't teach a man to be a man, amen, because you're a woman. It's just like a man can't teach a young girl, you know, how to be a mother. It takes a mother to do that. But we got to have a man in the house, amen, and that keeps the children stable. And so we want to thank y'all for coming on this morning. We appreciate you, and thank you for coming today, and may God bless you. We'll be in and out again today, amen. We want somebody to get saved, amen. We want somebody to give their heart to God, amen. You know, when we say, like they asked Peter, said, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We believe in salvation here. And it want everybody, if somebody's on the line that's not saved, we want you to hear the testimony of the men that's coming today. Amen. And so that you can see what God brought them through, that God can get you through it. And maybe you want to serve God because of what God did for them. Realize that God has no respect of person, that what he's done for one, he'll do for all. And so thank God for that today. I appreciate y'all coming on. We're going to come in and out with more scriptures today, but praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Mr. Prevost, will you give us that song? Amen.
How many really thank the Lord for being alive here tonight? Yeah, I am. Well, a living testimony. Oh, yeah. I could have been dead, but Lord, you let me live on. I am. Well, I'm a
I like that story. I like that song that said, we are living testimonies.
Amen.
Amen. And it's good to be here to be able to tell your testimony because
Amen.
He didn't allow you to perish, but he left you here to be a living testimony.
Yes,
and
Lord.
That's what it's all about here. He allowed you to be here. You know, you, like he said, you could have been dead, but he allowed you here to be a living testimony. Amen.
Yes,
so that everybody can see where God brought you from when he was down on the, he was down on your deathbed, but God raised you up.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. When you didn't have what it is that you needed for life, that God spared your life. Amen. And it's a good thing about God. Well, you know how God gave Jesus. Somebody died so that you could live. Now, that is the greatest testimony I know, that somebody else died so you can live. And we have people who was went through something like that, that somebody else died so they can live. Now, that's a testimony. That's a testimony in himself. Hallelujah. That's something to be thankful about. Jesus died
Lord.
So we can live. And the reason you are here now, you know, you hate to say it like that, but somebody died just so I can live. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
T-Vos, if you hold up a minute there, I got my brother-in-law on the line today. I can hear his voice. And amen. You know, he's a living testimony that
amen.
Something like
amen.
That something like that took place in his life.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Simon. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Page. It is truly a blessing this morning to be found alive and well. The truth of blessing is on to be on and listen to your broadcast, and you played that song, and my heart almost melted, because that is one of my favorite songs that I've always listened to. That is a song that I listened to one day as I was coming home from the hospital, and I was sitting in my driveway, and that song came on, and I almost just passed out, because I feel like that song was especially for me, you know. But I thank you this morning. Let me first introduce myself. My name is William Bowden Sr. Page is my brother-in-law. I am a deacon at the Greater Pleasant Green Baptist Church in St. Francisville, Louisiana. And truly, I am a living testimony. God has really been good to me. You have no idea how good God has been to me. I feel like Hezekiah this morning. I mean, God gave him 15 more years. He gave me a lot more than that is. But I'm just grateful this morning to be able to come on and tell you my story. And hopefully someone will hear it this morning and know that God is still alive. And know that whatever you're going through, he can fix it for you. Know that wherever you're going through, you might leave God, but he'll never leave you. But I thank God this morning for all of you ills and the sound of my voice ills. And let me begin by telling you, a long time ago, and I hate to I stretch this out, but I have to tell the whole story. I was a young boy living in Alabama, and I was in church on every Sunday morning. But as most of us do, is I got old and moved to the big city, and my head got big, and I got away from what I was brought up and learned about it, and learned about Jesus Christ and about doing the right thing. And I got lost in the shuffle. I got caught up in the world and forgot about where I came from. But you know something? One day God did me a favor. And you say, why did I say God did you a favor? God did me a favor because I was hell-bound until God stepped in and did something to me, first of all. He did something to me, and then he did something for me. I came home one morning, one evening, on a Friday evening. I had to work for 60 long hours, and I was tired and wore out. And I was just tired and wore out. And my wife asked me to change a flat tire on the car. I got out there and I started changing the tire, and I couldn't do it. I was running out of breath, you know. And so I said, well, you know, my allergy is messing up. And my wife tried getting me to go to the doctor, but I wouldn't go to the doctor. So I tried to lay down. Every time I lay down, I would feel like I was suffocating. Something was choking me. So finally, that Tuesday morning, I went to the doctor. And I got to the doctor often. The doctor told me, he did an x-ray. He said to me, Mr. Bowden, you don't have allergy. I said, I don't have allergy. I said, no. What do you have? He showed me an x-ray. He showed me two x-rays. He showed me one from 1988 and one from 1989. He said to me, look at these x-rays. The one from 1988 was clear as day. The one from 1989 was so flooded I couldn't see my heart. He told me, say, my wife, he said, I want you to rush to the hospital right away. And he's about to have a massive heart attack. Get into the hospital. I got to the hospital, and the doctor told me, say, he drained overnight, I lost 7 pounds. He drained 7 pounds of fluid off of me. I spent 8 days in the hospital, and the doctor came in. I thought he was coming in and telling me I was going back to work. He sat on side of my bed and told me, he said, I'm sorry to say this to you, but you got 4 to 5 years to live. I want you to remember this was 1989. So you got 4 to 5 years to live. After that, your heart won't last any longer than that year. And boy, hell, you couldn't have been more true than that year. Fast forward to 1993. I woke up one morning. And I don't know how it happened. I woke up one morning, and I found myself down on my knees in prayer. I asked him, how did I get here? My wife came home, and I told my wife, I said, I don't know what happened this morning, but I found myself on my knees. I don't know how I got there. And God told me, I need to start reading the Bible. My wife gave me a Bible. It had the Living Version on one side, the King James Version on the other side. And she said, read this and read the King James Version, and then with the Living Version, you understand what you're reading about here. I started doing that here. But from this time on, this was like in June of 1993. At this particular time, I weighed 235 pounds. By November, I weighed 105 pounds here. I had gotten so sick here, I went in the hospital. The doctor told me, say, you cannot live any longer outside the hospital because you need a heart transplant. I said, I already know I need a heart transplant. But he said, you cannot live alone until you get a heart transplant here. The problem you have is, though, your blood type is A negative, which means you cannot get a heart transplant unless you get another A negative, but it's not gonna match you. Well, fast forward, one night I came in one morning, and the doctor told me, said, Mr. Bowens, we found you a heart. Are you ready for it? I looked at him and I smiled and I said, yeah, well, let's get this on. But the amazing thing that happened after that was, well, what happened next was, what's the most beautiful part of the whole story, though? What happened next was, as I was going down the hallway, they were pushing my cart down the hallway into the operating room. My wife and my son was on each side of it. As they turned it loose, I heard a voice spoke to me and told me, said, son, look over your head. I looked over my head, and I saw a shadow. It had no particular figure. It had no face. It was like straw standing behind me, but a voice came out of it. And the voice spoke to me and told me, say, don't worry. You're going to be all right. I went into the operating room, Mills, and as I got there, the doctor told me, say, I want you to count from 100 backwards. I started counting 99, 199, 98. When I got to about 97, the voice spoke to me again and said, look back over your shoulder again. I looked over my shoulder. That same shadow was standing there over me again, over my head, telling me, don't worry. You're going to be all right. I'll take care of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
The amazing thing after that is, I had the surgery, and I don't know about this part, except for my wife told me, said, after the surgery was over with, the doctor came and told her, said, Miss Bolden, I want you to walk with me. She took a walk with the doctor. He said, Miss Bolden, I have done many, many transplants in my time, but I have never done one like this before. She said, what do you mean? Like this before, he said, normally when we do a heart transplant, it's like when you put a battery in a car, you have to boost it off to make it work to get it charged up here. He said, but normally when we put a heart in, we got these little bit of pedals on each side of the heart, and we shock it to make it start working here. He said, but the first time in my life here, the very first time in my life here, when I put your husband's heart in and hook it up, I didn't have to do anything. It just started pumping on its own.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
She said, it just started pumping on its own. She said, I don't know what happened, but it started pumping on its own. My wife told me, said, Doctor, I know what happened. God did.
Thank you,
Jesus. Nobody but the Lord. God
did. Thank you, Jesus.
So let me tell you this something this morning, yo. Whenever you're in trouble, whatever your trouble are, whatever you're going through, God can do it. No power on earth is in his, yo. Whenever you're going through, yo, and your time and leave, yo, remember one thing, yo. You may leave God, but he'll never leave you. He'll be there wherever you need him. He'll get you wherever you go else. You just have to remember to take God with you. And don't be afraid to tell someone what the Lord has done to you. Tell someone how great God has been to you. And because he's able to do all things here. See, I'm this morning, Minister Page, forgive me for going a little further than probably you want me to go.
Go ahead,
here.
Keep going.
This morning, I want to tell you something here. You see, God will track you. He will do things for you so you can do things for others. So if God has done you, don't be ashamed to talk about it, because that's a reason why it's being done. That's a reason why he's done these things here. Let you know, if he did it for me, he can do it for you too, No matter how bad you think it is, it is never nothing too hard for God. I was in a position one time, the doctor told me, before I had the heart transplant, he told me, I had about 2 days to live. I had no more than 2 days to live. All of my family and friends came around to say goodbye to me. Except for, I had one person in my life, one person that was, didn't believe I was going to die. God spoke to my daughter at the time. My youngest daughter was 18 years old, a freshman in college. And everybody tried to tell her, hey, Sharon, your dad is going to die. She answered, no, he's not going to die. Sharon, prepare yourself. Your dad is going to die. She spoke, stuck to her word here. He's not going to die, because I don't know how he's going to get through this, but I know this here. God has told me that my dad is not going to die. He was not going to die.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me tell you something else, God works in mysterious ways here. I was living in Maryland, and I was in the post office one day. A lady walked in I had never seen before in my life here. She walked up to me and my wife, and she spoke, and she said, how y'all doing here? Talked to my wife's voice, and she told me, she said, sir, would you stand up for a moment? I stood up. Never heard or seen this lady before in my life. Stood up. She said, God told me to give you a hug. So you've been through something in your life here. She said, but God told me to tell you, it's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. This year, I'll be 29 years ago today, that I had my heart transplant. When I had, I was told if I made 6 years, it would be great. But the lifespan for a heart transplant was 10 and a half years. I've had 29 years, and I have never had one setback in those 29 years.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to close them on by telling you, keep your hands in God's hands. Keep your hand in God's hands. He would never leave you. He would never forsake
you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Never leave you and never forsake you.
Yes,
one of my favorite scriptures is the 23rd Psalm. And the reason why my favorite scripture is the 23rd Psalm is, when you're going through something, the 23rd Psalm will help you personalize it. When you say, the Lord is my shepherd.
That's my favorite too. Yes,
he
leaded
me beside the still water. He restores my soul. So
take that
song and talk to yourself and personalize it. Make it about you and God.
Yeah, mine.
And trust me. Trust me. Get away. I know it.
Yes. No.
And once again, I want to thank you this morning. I thank Brother Minister Page, my brother-in-law, asked me to come on this morning. He asked me to do it a while back, and I wasn't able to make it. This time, I made myself a promise, And I want to thank you, Brother Page, for calling, texting me last night and reminding me, because I probably would have forgotten, you know. I'm really now 76 years old in a couple of days, a couple of months, you know. My mind ain't what it used to be, but I thank God for what it is.
Amen. Come on, everybody. Give God a hand. Praise for that testimony. Amen. Come on, just men, just clap your hand. Hallelujah. That is a testimony. Amen. That's getting a heart transplant. You know, it means somebody had to die so he could live.
Yes.
Come on. Amen. And that is a blessing from God. And when I heard his testimony, I was really amazed. And I had my other brother-in-law, I was talking to him about his testimony. I was telling his testimony to somebody else. And when I told his testimony to somebody else, oh, man, he went off like a rocket, praising God. And couldn't talk. Because that is a testimony right there. That's a real testimony. See, that's where God brought him from. And they let you know he was at on dying doors, we might call it. And God turned that thing around. And now he's been here more, like you said, more than Hezekiah asked for 15 whole years. But right now he's got 26 years?
29.
Now he's got 29 years of extended life is because God gave him favor in order to save him and save his life. And so we just thank God for it. Give God a hand, praise. Hallelujah. Come on. That ought to be a reason to praise God, that when you hear a testimony like that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. My brother, my friend died that I had come on where he was at death doors. Brother Pastor Holloway, he did die. But, you know, he talked about when he died and God took him to the river. And when he got to the river, his mama was on the other side of the river waving her hand, telling him, come on, come on, come on. And he said he saw his brother in the middle of the river, telling them to go back, go back, go back.
Amen. Amen.
And, but he said when he got ready to get in the water, you know, his daddy came. And even though his father's dead, you know what I mean, and his mama dead and brother, and his father came and caught him and tell him, no, not now. And took him back from the, picked him up and took him back from the river and laid him down. Amen, and said, not now. And he woke back up in his body. You know, when you think about experiences like that, that lets you know God is real. And he said, now I'm not afraid to die. Amen, he said, I'm not afraid to die. I died 2 times on the table, and God restored. That lets you know God gives back life, even when you lose it. That let us know God resurrects him and put him back in his body. And he came back to give me testimony. And some times later, my brother did pass on because he said he wasn't worried anymore because he had already got a glimpse. He had already got a glimpse of where he was going. So that took away his fear of dying. And when you with God, you don't have no fear of dying because you know.
Come on,
amen.
Come on.
God is waiting on you on the other side. This is why
we
need to get saved and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, because when we get to that place, you're going to need some help. You're going to need someone to take you on the other side and give you a place of peace, give you a place of joy and contentment. And so thank God for your testimony. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If there's someone else got a testimony, we're going to give you an opportunity this morning. I know Minister Prevost is at, he's at work, amen. You got time right now? We don't want to hold you up because I know you're at work.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. Yes, sir. I got time. Praise God. Giving honor to God and all the ministers that are on the roster this morning, all the saints and congregants of God, giving God the glory. Amen. Praise God. I just thank God for being here today. I got a my testimony similar to your brother-in-law. I don't have a new heart, but not yet. Amen. Praise God. But when I went to the Pastor, praise God, one day, it was December 31st, 2020, glory to God, and I had been sick about a month and a half. I had gotten to the point I couldn't breathe. I couldn't walk to my mailbox and back. I couldn't walk to the store before I had a car. I couldn't walk to the store and back. I was heavily winded, and I didn't have any energy. So I called the pastor, and I called Pastor Page. I said, I need you to take me to the hospital, Pastor Page. I don't know what's wrong. I might have COVID. I don't know. And that's what I was thinking. I had COVID. So I go to the hospital, and I walk in, and they take my blood pressure. I knew something was wrong. When they took my blood pressure, I didn't see the first number that went up there, but I knew something was wrong because they unplugged the blood pressure machine and plugged it back up. They thought something was wrong with the machine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then, so they ran it again, and my blood pressure, I believe, was 165 over 245, something like that. It was hot.
Yeah.
It was so hot that they went and got a wheelchair. How many fingers am I holding up? Are you seeing spots? Is everything clear? I'm like, no, I ain't experiencing none of that. They was like, you should be having a stroke right now. You should be having a stroke. I'm like, well, I don't think I am. So they put me in the hospital. I stayed in there about 4 days. And it turns out I have congestive heart failure. My heart had gotten too big, and it is not pumping the water correctly out of my body. And the water was spilling over into my lungs and causing me to have shortness of breath. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still here. Praise God.
Every
once in a while I might have a little episode here and there. Praise God. But I'm still here. Praise God. And I should, when I told them how long I had been in that condition, when I told them how long you've been like this, well, it's been about a month. A month? There's no way you should be still alive in this condition after being like this a whole month. Praise God. So I just thank God, amen, that he is a keeper. That's why he said through man it's impossible, because according to man, I should be dead. According to man, I should not be here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I should have had a stroke that day. I should be an invalid. Something should be wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I thank God that I'm still here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is truly a healing God. He's a preserving God. Hallelujah. And I believe if we come to it, I ain't at the point that I need a heart transplant. But if it comes to it, praise God, I believe God will make a way, glory to God. And I just thank him being who he is. Hallelujah. And as long as God is on the throne, praise God, our life is in his hands. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for that. And I do have a song, praise God. This is one of my rap songs, praise God. You know, the Williams brothers got an old song called "I'm Just a Nobody." Praise God. I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody about somebody.
I decided
I was going to remake that song for this generation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because this generation don't groove like we used to. They don't like them old Negro spirituals and them old-time gospel songs like we used to. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. If you got any kids, grandkids, if they in a hip-hop, gospel, hip-hop or rap music, let them know about me. My stage name is The Black Prince of Preachers. You can find me on YouTube. And if you're tired of hearing them play their profanity that they be playing in their cars, we got some good stuff they can bump down the street. Y'all check this out. This kind of
amen.
Nobody. Yeah. Hey. I'm just a nobody, you know what I'm talking about? A nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody.
Uh-huh.
Y'all old heads know what I'm talking about. Check me out. Let's go. Hell is hot, but heaven is paradise. Jesus told me obedience is better than sacrifice. But people hard-headed and deaf, they ain't listening. In order to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Look at your watch, it's time to change your mind. Second riches in heaven, you can say I'm on my grind. But the devil can't stop me, I resist and watch you flee. Bring everything you got to what it leave nothing to me. Cause I got God on my side, the first lady in my ride. I put the word from the booth, pulpit and the prayer line. And I still shine, but now my light's so bright. I lifted his name and I took flight overnight. Now I write him down, put him on the track and let y'all run with him. I'm having vision after vision, and I'm gonna go and get him, and I'm gonna live him. I'm walking the word and looking to my future. My whole past is flush. So listen, here we go again. I got my pad and my pen. I repented of all my sins. Start fresh again, again. I'm like Kelly in the choir, boy. All I do is win. Blessings raining in my life, boy. All I do is grin. Everlasting, omnipotent. That's the God I serve. Loving and forgiving. That's the God I serve. I'm just trying to tell y'all about the God I serve. And if you know like I know, he'll be the God you serve. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody
what can he do?
Who can save anybody. If they ain't like me in the world, they gon' hate me now. I got the flow to make your favorite rapper retire. And I'm being led by the spirit. When I fit it, y'all feel it. And you know that I'm the realest. You getting chills when you hear this. I rap the most high. I'm blessed, that's no lie. Two angels by my sides at all times, and they both fly. Say what? They both fly. You get it? They both fly. Two angels by my sides at all times, and they both fly. Yeah. He my shepherd, I don't want for nothing. I fell off, came back, and I ain't never stopped studying. He been calling my name, I just had to stop running. I'm just telling y'all, repent, the day of the Lord is coming. Yeah, you're living wrong, you better get it right. Cause he coming back, like a thief in the night. You don't know the day, you don't know the hour. But I'm on that empire, it ain't about the money, it's about the power. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Time to go to work, cause it's harvest season. Bring your burdens and cares to the throne and leave him, cause he cares for you. That's the whole reason. Everlasting, omnipotent, that's the God I serve. Loving and forgiving, that's the God I serve. And I'm just trying to tell y'all about the God I serve. And if you know like I know, you'll be the God you serve. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Save anybody. I'm just a nobody.
I love you, Chris. I'm out of time. I got to get back to life. God bless.
Amen. Praise God. He wants to tell it. Amen. That's somebody that can save anybody.
Amen.
That's what it's all about this morning. When we come, we want to tell everybody, amen, about somebody that can save anybody. What to tell you about Jesus that can save anybody. Amen. And this is what the testimony is all about today. Trying to bring everybody to Jesus to let them know that he can save. Isaiah chapter 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, all that mourn. Amen. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and oil for the joy of mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called seeds of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
That is why God does these things, so that you can go out and tell everybody, somebody that can save anybody. Amen.
Amen.
To proclaim liberty to the captive. That means that whatever you're being bound by, whatever you're held by, you're being bound by sin, being bound by drugs, heart condition, mental condition, that Jesus can save anybody. And this is
Amen.
Why we come today, because we want people to come to the Lord and give yourself to Jesus, amen, so that Jesus can set you free. He came to proclaim liberty. When I'm being liberated, I'm being set free from things. Amen. What is it that you need to be set free from today? That God can set you free from anything. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Is there someone else today? I mean, we didn't get. I always like to hear Brother Tobias. Is he around today?
Yes, he is. He's here.
Come on, brother.
I'm here, y'all. It was a blessing just to hear the brother speak. First, give an honor to God, to the bishop, to all the sisters, all the brothers that's speaking, all the sisters that's speaking fast. The Lord has delivered me from drugs. He has delivered me from a life of being in the street. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there's two phones. Sound like two phones in the house.
Oh,
I think mother.
Turn that off. I got the fan going. How that? How that's better?
Yeah.
That's better. Yeah, right on. Yeah. The Lord has delivered me from. The Lord has delivered me from everything. He has delivered me from in a state of mind where I was lost in my mind. To a place where I would have committed, so I even tried. I was going to commit suicide. I mean, realistically, finna commit suicide. He has brought me from that. He has brought me from, he has brought me, I remember a time when we were all just hanging out, and for some reason I get thirsty. I'm going to the store to get me a soda. I go to the store to get the soda. On my way back, police got everybody on the fence hemmed up. And if it wouldn't have been for me saying, you know what, man, I'm going to get me a soda. You know, the Lord has been that for me.
Line muted.
Every step of the way.
Line unmuted.
Do this or I was going to do that.
Line muted. Line unmuted.
Outcome was going to be, and I praise God today for the testimonies and for the Lord from where the Lord.
Line muted.
Amen.
And that I'm gonna say thank you for giving me a chance to speak.
Line unmuted. Line muted.
Well, amen.
Line unmuted.
Y'all didn't hear.
Line muted.
Hey, you were cutting out, brother. You were cutting out, brother.
What? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
Can everybody hear me? If you can hear me, everybody else can
yeah.
hear me, right?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear,
yeah.
Brother Tobias.
Did y'all hear what I said then? Do I need
Everything you heard, said, we heard.
Amen. Amen. Because I think that, that's the only, I couldn't have said it like that again.
Well, praise God. Brother Tobias, God has brought Brother Tobias out. I know he didn't talk about all of it, from the places he's been and the things he's been in and the troubles he's had. He didn't tell the whole story, but amen. We've heard it, but thank God for Brother Tobias that God delivered him from some things. It wasn't just one thing, some things. So we want to thank Brother Tobias. Amen. And then we got another one here. We got Brother Norman. You ready, Brother Norman?
Amen, Brother.
I thank God for being here. You know, when you've been through as much as I have, it's a blessing to just be able to see the sun rise again.
Amen.
To be open your eyes and see your arms and legs move again. To be able to know that God is still with you.
Amen.
That God is still alive and well.
Amen.
Only nobody that he cannot reach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to the brothers this morning, and it was beautiful testimonies. It just took me so far back into my mind with all of the things that I've been through. You know, I woke up this morning, and this old body was racked with all kinds of pain and aches and things. You know, that devil don't want you to go forward and do anything that's going to be towards the will of God.
Amen.
But like we tell him, you know, that devil is a lie. Because God is good. And when it comes to him, you know, we can be made tired. I was listening to the brother talking about his heart and listening to the other brother talk about the COVID. You know, for those who don't know, I'm still in the process of learning how to walk again. Learning how to walk all over again. I was in an accident where I was hit by an 18-wheeler. It left me paralyzed from the neck down. When I arrived at the hospital, the doctors told me that they didn't know whether I was going to live or die. When I broke my neck, I didn't just break my neck. I separated every nerve inside of my neck. And I fractured my spinal cord. Had bulges on disc 5 and 6 on my spine. Doctors performed the surgery that saved my life through the help and grace. While I was lying in the hospital 2 days after that surgery, the doctors came in and said, "We're going to have to do another surgery, Mr. Gannon, because you got swelling on your spine." The Lord have mercy. I went and had the surgery. A day or so after the surgery, those same doctors came back into the room again. There was about 5 or 6 of them. And they were standing around the bed. You know, they all had their heads kind of down. I said, "Mr. Gander, we need to have a word with you." They said, "We are sorry to tell you this, but it is our collective opinion, medical opinion, that you will never ever walk again. That the most..."
Line unmuted.
"Limited use of your..." God is a God of mercy and grace.
Yep.
While I was going through all of that, you know, I was by myself. Nobody even knew that I was there. No one knew that I was there. The only family, friend, loved one that I had with me was the Spirit of God.
Thank you, dude.
When I was going through all of that, I didn't have a sense of fear. You know, the hand of God was on me and let me know that everything was going to be okay. I didn't do any drawing out long.
Line muted.
All I did was say, "Lord, have mercy." You know, regardless of what man says, the will of God will be done. God touched his body. While I was still in the intensive care unit, his body started to move. But I didn't tell anybody. I just kept it between me and God, and I just praised God for it. By the time anybody knew that I could even move, it was one day when a nurse walked into the room, and I had then got myself. I was sitting on the side of the bed. I scared the nurse to death. She wanted to know how I got there. I said, I got here by myself. She said, Mr. Gannon, there's no way that you could have got out of that bed and onto the side of that bed. She said, Mr. Gannon, you're paralyzed from the neck down. I said, I got here all by myself. He said, but show me how you going to get back in the bed. And I got back in the bed. She said, well, get back to the side like you did where you were when I came in. And I got back to the side of the bed again. By this time, there's doctors everywhere. I had been moving for days and didn't tell anybody because those doctors had told me that I was going to never walk again.
Thank you, Jesus.
The conversation that I was having was with my God.
Yeah.
I was walking. I was walking, putting my feet on the floor, putting one in front of the other, holding on to this little thing, and I was walking. And I was walking around in the hospital.
Yes.
And you know, people can see the hand of God. As I walked through that hallway, I remember seeing people's faces, nurses, doctors, that were all coming out of their room. Because you know, one of the nurses had went and told me, said, this man's going to come out here and walk. That man that we knew, say, I'm going to never walk again. That man's going to come out here and walk. So y'all look.
Come on now.
That hallway, everybody was standing there. They were standing there with tears in their eyes. They were crying. And they were clapping. They weren't clapping for me. They was clapping for God.
Yes.
For everything that I had done. After I came through, and God blessed me to get out of the hospital and overcome that, I had spent a year in the hospital. I spent two and a half years in a physical therapy. But, you know, the devil ain't satisfied with just doing you bad. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy.
Amen.
So I got through all of that and survived that by the grace of God. I had another situation where something was going on with my stomach, and I didn't understand what it was. And it had been going on for a little over a month. I ended up going to the doctor, and they was going to do this thing called a endoscopy, where they stick a camera down your throat to look and check your stomach. When the doctor got ready to perform that procedure, he realized that he couldn't do it because my entire esophagus was blocked, completely blocked. The doctor said, I have no idea how you were even able to eat or drink anything. How were you able to eat or drink anything? So your entire esophagus is completely blocked. It was only by the grace of God.
Yes.
What was supposed to be in that endoscopy surgery ended up being a total surgery to clear my esophagus. In the process of doing that, the doctor gave me anesthesia, and they couldn't even wake me back up after the surgery. They were trying to wake me up. They couldn't wake me up. I had taken my fiance with me. And they finally, after they realized they couldn't get me woke up, they had to go tell her, hey, we can't wake him up. I said, we've been trying for like 45 minutes and we can't wake him up. But how many of y'all know God has always got a ram in the bush?
Yeah,
man. God speak to a rock. And when he speaks, you will hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what's going on. She brought her out there. She said she began to speak to me, and I heard her voice. I could hear it after I woke up, and she said, do you remember what I said? I said, no, I can't tell you a word that you said. I said, but I heard your voice. I could hear everything that you were saying. It was clear. I said, but I can't tell you a word that you just said. How many of y'all know that's not because she wasn't speaking a language that I couldn't understand? It's because it wasn't her that was speaking. It was God that was speaking. Mm. He was speaking for me to remember. He was speaking for me to obey the will of God and wake up. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You've been through all kinds of things, and God has done the things that nobody's ever felt like he could do. No matter what's going on, we can never get tired.
Amen.
Because God doesn't get tired with us. No matter what we're going through, when we reach out to God, God is there.
Amen.
And this morning when I got up and I was going through all of this and feeling all of these pains, I knew that it was the devil. But God's will goes forth. I thank God for everything that he's done in my life. And I'm here to tell you that the will of God will go forth to your life no matter what it is. That God will look over and protect you even when you don't realize that there's something that you need.
Amen.
The brother was talking about our old song. That song that he was talking about, that was always been a favorite song of mine too. But the song that is in my spirit is that it's no waste time. You know, a lot of people told me a lot of things. I've heard all manner of things from all manner of people. But like my grandmother told me, she said, one thing, son, you never heard anybody say, or you'll never hear anybody say, that in this life journey, you would never hear anybody say that it's going to be easy. And that's true. That nobody's ever told me that this journey and everything in it was going to be easy. So I'm going to share this song with you to let you know that no matter what you're going through, how difficult it is, how little you understand about it, know that if you just keep your hand in the hand of God, and keep your faith and your prayers lifted to him, all things are possible. That God is a miracle worker. He's a healer. He is all that you need him to be. He is that I am that I am. I ask that y'all bear with me as I try to sing this song. Because no matter what goes on in my life, I pray that God never allows me to grow tired in trying to do a little for him. I don't feel no way tired.
Say it.
I've come too far from where I started from. And nobody told me that this road would be easy. But I don't believe
yes,
you took me thus far to leave me. I'll sit again, I don't feel no time. I've come too far from where I started from. And nobody told me that this road would be easy. But I don't believe, I won't believe
He bought me thus far to lead me.
Nobody told me the road would be easy.
Amen.
And I thank God that he gives me the strength to keep carrying on.
Amen.
Because nobody told me that this road would be easy. But I can tell you that I know in every part of my heart, soul, and spirit that God didn't bring us this far to leave us. So whatever you do, hold on to God and keep trusting and knowing that no matter how hard it is, that God will never leave you.
Amen.
Everyone, and I pray that you continue to go and maintain your strength in the Lord, and that you pray that I will continue today by day, move closer to the will of God. I love you. I love you, the Lord God.
Amen. Another great
testimony.
Another great testimony of where God brought him from being paralyzed, and now he's able to walk. Thank God. God did what man said that wouldn't be done or couldn't be done. He let you know God is the miracle worker. Amen.
Amen.
You can't always listen to man, but what man say is what God say. Amen. You know, the said that what wouldn't be, and God made happen what man said couldn't be done. This is why we have our faith. We have to keep our faith in God, regardless of where we are in life or whatever is happening in life. We got to keep looking to God. And I know sometimes it takes a little time, you know. No, sometimes it's not in immediately. We don't get up immediately when we get down, but God said, you're going to be raised up. Amen. I guess when Jesus went down, it was 3 days before he got up. But amen, it had been some months in time that he struggled with right now. He struggled right now. And I know maybe he prayed and asked God and said, God, take this thorn away from me, Lord. Remove these thorns, O Lord. But God turns around and says, my grace is sufficient for you. It could have been worse. You could have been dead, but you are alive now. I saved your life. And from saving your life, not only did I save your life, but now I saved your soul. Amen. More important, all the pain that you've gone through, he saved your soul. Amen. Sometimes we lose body parts sometimes, but it's better to go into glory having one leg or one arm or one eye, amen, than for your soul to be lost. So the most important part of this is that your soul be saved, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we want to thank God that his soul is saved. And everything ain't working like it ought to work, but it's working good enough for him to continue to man.
Amen.
All that is, that's just a thorn, brother. That's just a thorn, amen.
Amen.
But grace helps you to live with your thorn. Hallelujah. When you look back and think, could have been. Hallelujah. And it's not that way now. Somebody ought to want to be saved after that testimony.
Amen.
Somebody ought to want to give their life to Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. You want to be able to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that he has died and rose again so you can be saved. Somebody ought to make a confession after hearing the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what they think about the goodness and all that he has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. So you always think of the goodness of God. And how my brother, I know what's going on, brother. I know it still pains. I know it still hurts. But think about the goodness, amen. You know, everything that you gain on this side, you gain it back on the other side. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
And so thank God for my brother today. Amen. Is there someone else's testimony? where God brought you from. We want to know where God brought you from. Amen. Is there anyone else here today? Hallelujah. Amen.
That's all the men, Bishop.
Hey, Brother Ray didn't show up today?
I seen him earlier. He was on earlier, but he got off.
Brother Smothers didn't show up?
Not yet. Oh, I see your nephew. Your nephew just got on.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Anything you like to add today, nephew?
He just got off.
I guess I'm scared about him.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Yeah, he just got off.
We scared him away, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I didn't want to scare him. You know, some people are afraid to talk about what God did for you.
Yeah.
And he should
okay.
have.
He just came back. He just came back.
Amen. Well, nephew, you got anything you like to say of what God brought you through? And I know you did have an ordeal. And maybe you want to tell someone about the ordeal that you had. Amen.
I want to deal with that. You're talking about with me and my daughter?
Whatever that means, how God got you through that.
Well, he got me through, man. That's because of faith. You know, when you go through some things and then you see that you're going the wrong way, you know how God is. Lord Jesus. He wakes you up in certain ways that you don't understand sometimes. And so the things that I got through was because of faith and because of just believing in God and Jesus, who he is, and the love that he has for us, and his wisdom. This brings me through, man. I'm not the perfect man. I agree with that. But I always try to strive to see who God is, so I know who God is, and understand who God is. And so that brings me through. Every day is a challenge. I got to admit that. And I thank God for what I have. Thank you for his wisdom. I thank him for the blessings that he's given me. My family, food in my belly, clothes on my back, roof over my head, and the love that my family has for each other. So I'm blessed with that. And I can live with that. I'm not asking anything more than what I have. I'm just asking for him to just give me understanding. Just give me wisdom. And I know I'm not obedient as I need to be. But I'm getting there.
Thank you, G.
It takes time. It takes patience. And understanding of the word. That's a key thing. Understanding who God is. And sometimes it takes you a while to get there. And I'm patient. I know it's going to bring me there one day. I just love listening to the word of God. I love listening to his wisdom, his teachings, and what it's all about. So that's my thing, man. I just love listening to the word of God and getting an understanding of who he is. And who he wants us to be. Who he wants us to be.
Amen.
And get out and learn, man, and the last, 6 months, year, whatever, is totally different than what I was raised in. The pace I was raised in Baptist. But I can't understand that there's no Methodist, there's no apostolic, you know, it's all about the holiness. You know, God wants you to be holy. He don't want you to be Baptist. He don't want you to be, you know, some religion. He wants you to be holy. Try to be like Jesus. So that's a hard road to follow, boy. It's a hard road to follow, but I'm on that path. I'm on that journey. So I got understanding from you, understanding from other teachers, and try to tie it all together. So that's why I'm here, man, get an understanding of what's going on in my life. And be a better, be a better man, better father, better brother, and a servant. So that's why I'm here.
Amen. Well, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen.
And
well, praise God. You know, I just got, well, I guess I can give a little testimony about, you know, some things God brought me out, brought me through.
Amen.
Amen. I haven't always been the nice guy all of my life. Amen. I've had some struggles and still have struggles. Amen. But I thought about, you know, back in the day when I got in some trouble, and I told you about how when I got in jail, and amen, and went out fighting, got to fighting one night, and almost killed a guy. Amen, and went to jail for it. Amen. I thought that being out in, because I didn't bother no one, being in the street, I didn't bother no one, but at the same time, I didn't want nobody to bother me either. And I had the mentality, if you bother me, and I think you want to hurt me, I'm going to try to hurt you before you hurt me. And that was the mentality that I walked in, always ready to be on defense. And so just out, I guess we was playing cards one night, just sitting around, and the guy come in. I called it sowing his wolf cookies and talking at me. And I had some friends. I had had some wisdom at that time. I would have left, but, you know, I wasn't a coward. I wasn't a coward. And so my friends got up and left. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. And he got to talking, but I never opened my mouth to him. I never said a word to him. I never said nothing to him. He was doing the talking, I just was looking at him. I had a little old knife in my pocket, about an inch long or whatever it was. It wasn't a real long knife. I had it in my pocket. So while he was sitting there talking, I popped my knife open. And then, because I wouldn't say nothing to him, he got very upset because I wouldn't talk back. and he came over and swung on me. Mm-hmm. And when he swung on me, I grabbed him and started cutting and stabbing. And still didn't open my mouth to him. Still ain't said nothing to him. And
yeah, I remember that.
From that, I ended up in jail. And but while I was in jail, I heard the voice of God. I never heard the voice of God like that before. It seemed like it was an audible voice. And I heard God say, see, if you had been doing what I told you to do, you wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of funny to me. I said, well, Lord, what is it that told me to do? Say, you know what I called you to do and told you to do, and I want you to do it. And I said, okay, God. I said, get me out of this mess that I'm in right now. And you won't have no more problem with me. I won't make all those vows. You know how everybody lie to God and tell God they're going to do all these things for him. The only thing I told him, I said, well, you just won't have no more problems with me. I didn't say I was going to do this. I was going to do that because I didn't want to open my mouth to God and say some things that I wasn't going to do just for him to get me out of trouble.
Yes, sir.
And then about 7 o'clock, I think that was about 4 o'clock that morning when they arrested me. And about 7 o'clock, the man came to the door and said, Mr. Page? I said, yes, sir. He said, you can go. You can go. You just got to appear in court. You got a house. You ain't going nowhere. And so they let me out. Didn't take them about 4 hours to convince me. About 4 hours. I was convinced.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to keep hitting me over my head to tell me, hey, I got to change. Tell you, 4 hours convinced me. I don't know how these people keep going back and forth and back and forth. I don't understand them. That 4 hours was enough. That was convincing enough to let me know. You got a change to get out of these streets, boy.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah. And then from that, amen, after that, I went to court. When I went to court, I was charged for assault with a deadly weapon. And, you know, I could have went to jail for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But God fixed it, see. God fixed it where the guy that I did it to, he wouldn't even show up for court.
Mm. Praise God. Sure.
And they had to throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
How God can do things. God can work miracles, amen. And so, and how it could have been, but it didn't. It wasn't. It didn't happen. And I'm just trying to see to anybody, you know, no matter what situation you were in, God can get you out of it. Even though I was guilty, I did it. Hallelujah. But even though when you're guilty, amen, God can declare you innocent.
And
that's the good thing about Jesus. We are all guilty before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all guilty before God. But yet,
amen,
because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God has declared us innocent. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Declared to be innocent. I didn't have to serve no time. I didn't have to stay locked up. Hey, you know, it could have went that way. So God brought me through that. And even though, you know, I need to be a, hallelujah. And even after that, I had to clean myself up a little bit. You know, I was a beer drinker. I wasn't too hard on the liquor, but I was a beer drinker. And so I used to go to work, and I come home and get me a six-pack of beer. And get my Bible and sit at the table and read it. somebody might say, well, you mean you used to sit and drink your beer and read your Bible? I sure did.
Amen.
Jesus.
I sat at the table and I drank my beer and read my Bible and kept doing that, sitting at the table when I got off work and read my Bible and drank my beer. Then all of a sudden, one day,
yeah,
I was sitting at the table. I was drinking my old English 800.
Oh, I love old English. Ooh, that was my beer. Come on, Bishop. Come on.
yeah, that was a malt liquor or whatever that Miller. And I don't, I was reading the scripture there, and I don't remember what it was in Matthew, but all of a sudden a thought came to me. It said, "You don't need that no more.
Come on.
You don't need that anymore."
Mm.
And I thought about it. And I said, "You know, you're right. I don't need this anymore."
Mm-hmm.
And I took it and pushed it back.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to a beer, I haven't had a beer since.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That was 1981.
Amen.
God delivered me. I'm trying to say God delivered me, so I don't have no problem with drinking now because God delivered me. Amen. Come on. I'm trying to say, well, whatever it is, God can deliver you from it. I'm just trying to say that's how God delivered me from it, just reading the word.
Amen.
I didn't walk around in condemnation while I was doing it. I kept reading the word. And it was the word of God, the power of the word that delivered me from it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm trying to say the word will deliver you also. That's power in the word of God.
Power.
It will deliver you if you would believe it, if you would just believe it. It will deliver you. Amen. It delivered me. I'm not trying to say, you know, like for me now. Amen. I just tell y'all, you know, somebody asked me, well, have you ever took a drink since? I haven't had a drink of beer, but, you know, I have had a wine cooler. I'm just letting you know, I ain't trying to play around and be shucky. Amen. But I'm trying to say God delivered me. I don't have no trouble with it now because God delivered me. There's one thing. There's one thing is when you quit on your own.
Amen.
Come on.
See, normally when we quit on our own, we normally have problems with it. Sometimes we go back. It's because you quit on your own strength. But when God delivers you from it, amen, you don't have no problem with it anymore. I say when God delivers you from something,
come on,
you've been delivered,
hallelujah,
amen.
Thank you, Jesus. No desire, no desire.
So, you know, it's not that I can go around and be around it, amen. I'm not tempted by it or whatever because I'm delivered, amen.
Come on.
I'm not sitting on the edge. I'm not, you know, this wasn't a 12 step. You know how you go to 12 step, amen. And when they go back to you, you know, they always tell you, you know, once the alcoholic, always the alcoholic. Once this, you always that. But I'm trying to say when God delivers you from something, amen, he delivers you, amen, and cleans you
up.
It's not a 12-step program. This is a one-step program. And
one
Jesus
step.
Christ is the one-step program that can deliver you from anything, amen. And then you don't have to I am still an alcoholic. No. You don't have to say that anymore. You can say, I'm delivered. I'm delivered from this thing.
Hallelujah.
This don't bother me anymore. This is not attached to me anymore. God delivers you. Clean you up.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So that was my testimony of one of the things, just a few little things that I went through. There's a whole lot more, amen, I could talk about. But I just want to give a testimony to the glory and goodness of God, that how God will and how God can, and no matter what you're facing today, I don't know what it is that you're facing today, but we're trying to say God can deliver you, amen, that what Jesus came expecting to deliver us from these things, amen. He came to set us free. He came to give us liberty, liberate you from your alcohol, liberate you, amen, from your addiction, liberate you, amen, from... You know, we have sex addiction, amen. He can liberate us from our sex addiction, amen, and make us be faithful to our husband and cause you to be faithful to your wife. He can liberate you from that lust. All it is lust, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He can liberate you from homosexuality, amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for that, amen. I thank God that everybody talk about these things, but, you know, I hear the preachers and things saying different things, but I don't believe it, some of the stuff they be saying, man. I want to tell you, I baptized a transgender. Baptized two transgenders at one time in Kansas. I baptized two transgender. The woman had changed herself. The woman had became the man, and the man that became the woman. But they was married, so, amen. They was married. Amen. They just changed places, amen. The man became the woman, and the woman became the man. And somebody asked me about that, and he said, well, my pastor said at the time, he said, well, Paige, I can't deal with it. Can you handle that? I said, I don't have no problem with it. They're just people to me. Amen. I got in the Bible with them, read the Bible with them. I baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had a lady there, a sister named Sister Rosalie. She laid hands on them. They got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues that the Spirit of God gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were transgender.
Mm-hmm.
say, the woman still looked like the man, and the man still looked like the woman. I mean, that's the way they looked. Mm-hmm. Amen. The bishop asked me, he said, well, what are we going to do with them, Paige? I said, well, all I know, amen, God gave them the Holy Ghost. They've been baptized. That means if they have the Holy Ghost, that means God has accepted them. So what am I going to say against that?
Let the Holy Ghost deal with them.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
So they start coming to church. Amen. 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 They came to church. And all of a sudden, and then, you know, everything didn't take place right away, what I'm trying to say. It didn't take place right away. But the last minute, the bishop went up to text me, well, up to Kansas. He said, there was a woman came up to him and say, do you know who I am? And he said, he looked at her and they said, no, I don't know who you are. He said, well, I'm Tom. I used to be Tom. But I'm back to being Mary now. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I used to be Tom, but I'm back being Mary right now. And so just from that thing, it is believing God that God is able to do anything. Amen. She transformed back into the woman that she was in the beginning, all because it started. See, we like to limit God to what God can do. Come on. God transformed her back from what she wanted to be. Transform her back is because she believed in God. And then that somebody took time out to sit with her and talk with them and give them the word of God. And God caused her to change. So I don't care if you're transgender, amen. God would help you transform back into who he wants you to be.
Amen.
So we can't limit God. We got to stop limiting God in this stuff.
Yes, amen.
When we transgender,
amen.
God said, all souls are mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God can bring them to repentance. And he can turn their life back around just like he turned yours around and mine around. So thank God
amen.
For that. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And after hearing all these powerful testimonies today, amen.
Amen. We got Brother D'Angelo. We got Brother D'Angelo. Some of these men are working too, so we got to get moving.
Oh, okay.
They're getting off. Okay, so Brother D'Angelo and Ray came back. Brother Minister Ray came back.
Who's going to be first? Brother Ray, Brother D'Angelo.
Can y'all hear me? Hello?
Well, let Brother D'Angelo, he's at work.
Hello? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we're here.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. What I heard, I came in around the end of Bishop's testimony. He was talking about how the Lord let him off the law, off the hook. So God was telling me, talk about the times I let you off the hook. I said, all right. So I was in the Marine Corps, and I ended up going to a house party with a couple of Marines, and a lot of stuff going on at this house party. The thing I was doing a lot of drinking. Not like light drinking, but like drunker drinking, you know, drinking past my limits. And we got to the point where we ended up sleeping in the car, which was like 75 miles by an hour and a half away from base. And we woke up late, like real late, real hungover, still alcohol on the breath, everything. And I was like, okay, Lord, we still got to get to work. And, you know, formation is in like 50 minutes. I know it takes longer to get there. So, Lord, can you make a way? And I started driving, started hitting the gas really, really hard. My boy had to throw up, so I pulled over, so he threw up. I'm still driving. I'm like, oh. I don't feel well, but I still got to get this. And I ended up getting pulled over by a highway patrol. He looked at me, but by the grace of God, it didn't breathalyze me. So I just want to thank God on that. But he gave me a ticket for reckless driving. And you know, I get to base, and I get to base, and I have my military ID in wrong, because there's a way you're supposed to give a military ID. I gave it upside down on accident, and anytime you give a military ID upside down to the base control, they're supposed to pull you over, because a upside down ID is a sign of distress. But the guy looked at me, still let me through, and so I'm like, okay, God, you gave me two. I mean, you gave me a ticket, but I still got all the way through. And so, you know, we get the formation. Then I get written up for being late, but they don't see the alcohol, so I'm still like, okay, you know, that they could have gave me it's called administrative separation. It's a 6105 is the document. So they could have really, really put something on my record. But no, they just gave me a written warning, an informal written warning. And I was like, okay, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And next thing you know, I'm, you know, I fast forward, you know, a couple of weeks. I go to the courthouse so I can, you know, are you going to declare innocent or guilty? And I was like, now I'm innocent. You know, I want to do this trial. And they're like, okay, well, we want you to come back in 45 days. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to prepare this. And Lord looking at me, he's talking to me like, well, what you talking about, prepare for this and that? You know, the Holy Ghost says don't prepare for the hour. You're going to get prosecuted because the Holy Ghost will give you what to say. So I was like, okay, I won't prepare for it. I'll just show up. Like, I know it was my fault, and I know I was speeding. I was doing like 95 and a 65, and I got pulled over for it. And Lord just told me just to show up. So I was like, okay. So the day comes, I got to show up. Man, I'm fasting. I'm praying. I got the worship music going. And I show up, and I sit down at the court, and I'm like, okay, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, I'll take whatever I'm supposed to take, you know, whatever the charge is for me being guilty. I know because I wasted the court time, you know, I'll pay the court charges for wasting their time. I know that got to happen too. So I'm sitting there waiting, and everybody's police officer showed up but mine. And the judge was like, you know what, since your police officer didn't show up, you can go free. I said, what? I said, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Like, I could have gotten in trouble for alcohol on my breath. I could have gotten in trouble for giving my ID upside down. I could have got my 6105, which was administrative separation of the Marine Corps. I could have got this, that, and the third, but the Lord had mercy all the way through.
Yeah.
And it's good to be a son of the King.
I tell you that. <right now. laughs>
Hallelujah. Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Thank brother for that. Amen. Minister Ray, you got anything to say?
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. I'm just thanking God for listening to the testimony and stuff. Had to get off for a minute, but I was going to come back. I came back. So, you know, God is good in every instance. Everybody's testimony ain't the same. Everybody don't go through the same thing, and but we all go through. And God showed you many ways of his diversity of how he delivered you out of whatever thing that you're going through and have been through and whatever you facing. You know, God has done a great thing in my life. I be thinking back all the time how it could have been and what would the condition I'd be in if it hadn't went that way instead of this way. And these things are you not to take the grant for granted. You know, I was listening to the brother was talking about he had been living 29 years past a heart, and when he said that his heart got dropped in his chest and it didn't need no defibrillator or nothing to jump start it, it just started beating. I said at that moment, oh, that was the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, when he didn't need no defibrillator to jump start his heart, that's just like putting a battery battery in your car and just put the cables on there and it just start up, you know, without even cranking up. I said, oh, that was the Lord, you know. And so thought about, you know, facing, when he was facing death, I remember the time I was actually facing death and didn't even know it. And it was a real thing. It was a real thing that I was facing death, because anybody ever had a staph infection? I heard of them in sports, but I did never know how you get a staph infection, you know. And so I know I had a brace on my left leg that I had to wear for like 10 months prior to foot surgery. But on my right leg, it's good. But it started hurting one day real bad. And I don't know why it started hurting. I got out to bed to go to the restroom at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't even try to put some pressure on it. Fell straight on my face. And I'm like, what's wrong with my foot? You know, or I didn't even know where it was hurting from. But it went on so long. You know, I would be sitting in the truck. It'd be 200 degrees in my truck, and I'm shaking like a leaf. I got the heat on. It's so hot I can't hold my phone. But I'm still cold and shaking like a leaf. It's so hot in the house, in our apartment, that my wife at the time couldn't stay in there. And I didn't understand why. So I never really paid attention. I would rub my leg, like, what's wrong? You know, then sometimes it seemed like I feel better, then right back not feeling better. Until one day, my wife at the time went to work, and I was laying across the bed, and I was just shaking real violently. This is like teeth chattering shaking. And I'm just shaking, and I don't know what's wrong with me. But the Lord sent her back home for some reason, and now I know the reason. Because when she walked in, and she said, she just took a breath. She just, look. I said, what? Barely could talk, teeth chattering, shaking. She said, she threw me my clothes. She said, you got to go to the hospital right now. I said, for what? She said, if you don't go to the hospital, I'm calling an ambulance right now. She said, look at your leg. I looked down at the top of your, you look down at the top of your ankle, now I'm dark, you know, I'm about the same color as a wallet. And so I looked down at my leg, it was cherry red with a big, like, balloon on the top of it, a small balloon, water balloon, but it was a big water balloon. I looked, and when I got to the hospital, you know, they rushed me in there and all this stuff, man. I was like, what's going on? You know, they never would tell me what's happening. But I kept seeing the doctor and my wife huddling up. You know, I was in there like 17 days. I kept seeing them huddling up. The chaplain kept coming to my room. I said, what you keep coming over here for? You know, and I'm just like, you know, they got all type of stuff in my mouth and things. And I still didn't know what was going on. And then one day that thing popped, and all the pus ran out. And then I went back home. It wasn't till weeks later. It wasn't till weeks later when I went to the doctor for something else. I found out, talking to a person waiting on to see the doctor, I was talking to her about a staph infection. They told me what it was, and I told her all the things I'm telling y'all. She said, oh, young man, you was close to death. I say, close to death? She said, yeah. And then that's when my wife at the time told me everything that the doctor said. I said, well, why did you tell me? She said, I wanted you to keep your faith. No, I figured that you were waiting for me to keel over or something. I don't know what it was. But she told me what the doctor said. The doctor said, if you had not got him in here the day you brought him in here, he wouldn't be here today. He said that I was septic. Anybody know what septic is? I was septic, and I had to have a powerful antibiotic called vancomycin, and they had to They kept waking me up every half an hour. I didn't get it while they was doing it, but come to find out, I went back to see that doctor again on a follow-up, and I asked him all these questions. He said, yeah, your wife told us not to tell you what was going on. But you was close to death. If you not came that day, you probably wouldn't have made it through the night. I said, I was that close to being out of here? He said, yeah. This is why we kept putting cameras down your throat to see if any of your organs was affected. But you came up roses on every test. That was the Lord. Kept me. And I just thank God that I think about that. Man, I could have been gone, man. Over a staph infection that I didn't know it was so serious right there. Didn't even know I had a staph infection. And then that was one time he saved my life. And then months later, my hearing went away. You had to talk to me, whispering to me. And so I'm waiting to see the doctor. They asked me all my name and stuff. I can't even really hear them. So they got a whisper in my ear. And I don't understand why they got a whisper in my ear, what then happened to me. And so when I went back there and had a CAT scan, they came, and within 20 minutes, they came. And when they showed up outside my door, they said, Mr. Thurman, you got to go now. They had the whole surgery people team. You got to go now. I said, go now where? You going to surgery right now. For what? My appendix. But when I woke up and sitting in the room, the doctor came in there and said, Mr. Thurman, your hearing, he was on medical terms, he said you was this made your hearing go away. Your blood pressure was at an all-time low, and so your hearing was down and everything was down. He said if you had a sneeze too hard, you wouldn't be here today, because when we pulled that appendix out your belly button, it burst all over the place as we were pulling it out. And it was so much poison, it would have poisoned your whole system again. That's two times God to save my life. Well, that's more than two times, because I figured all the bullets that then came at me, all the guns fired that have been fired our way. So I just thank God. I say, man, you know, I could have been in hell a long time ago. And could not be here right now, thinking about, you know, just how God brought you through that, and how amazing that I'm in good health today, and everything is good, no high blood pressure, and none of that stuff, and I just thank God for it. I owe it all to the Lord, and so I just praise Him for not only for my life, but hearing people. How God had done things for them, because that breast cancer stuff coming up, and you see people that, like the brother said, he had 2 days to live. You hear them saying testimonies how they had 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months, and here it is 25, 30 years later that they still living cancer-free. That's a blessing. And people don't take that too serious, but people of God take it very seriously, because you could have easily been going the other way. And it could have been like you could have been died in a Christless grave, laying in a Christless grave. But God saw fit, gave you another chance. And I just thank you for all the opportunities that He gave me, because, you know, my life ain't been worthy of no roses by nobody, you know. And I just thank God that all the stuff that we've been in, I've been a part of shootouts and gang fights. And I think a time I got caught with a Uzi in the barbershop across my lap, I said, if that was today, they would have bust me in the head right then and there. If that was today, because they shoot you if you have a, you can't even have a cell phone in your hand. So just think, I got a 30-round Uzi sitting on my lap getting a haircut, and that could have been my life. I said, thank God that it wasn't this time that we living in, and so I just thank God. Got a lot to thank God for. Whoever don't give God praise, I don't know what's wrong with you. We should have a yet praise in our mouth every single day to give the Lord. Every single day we should have a praise. And throughout the day, if you just think back what God has brought you through, sickness and all the things that you've been through in life. And I give him praise and honor. Thank God I'm on the side of the Lord. Thank God for the testimonies I heard from the brothers, because brothers don't testify a lot. And God say, if your testimony be here, it be here from the lost. And your testimony not only can save you, but save others, because you don't know things that other people went through in their life. And you don't know what people are going through right now. You may inspire them to give them the courage to go home, go forth. And so we just want to thank God for men giving testimonies, all you men. I lift you up in the name of the Lord. Keep praising the Lord. Keep telling your testimony. And keep moving and grooving in the things of the Lord. And pray our strength. I pray you'll pray for you. You pray for me, if you will. If not, I still pray for you. So we thank God on today. In Jesus' name, I'm done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Ray. Amen for his testimony. I still missing my brother Anthony, brother James. Did brother James didn't show up?
I think on a daily basis. If he start, and once candidates start selling this on the campaign trail,
brother James.
Yeah.
There's a weird position going on that we saw.
Well, I know something good happened to you. You can talk about it.
Good happened to me.
This could be factoring into a lot of these races, and the Democrats.
Y'all can cut the TV down or whatever's going on.
That very new TV race. And Democrats are hoping that, you know, a lot of the bills that you put up there.
But Brother James, he's not going to testify. Amen.
Well, I got to think of what it is.
You got to think of what it is?
Yeah.
Have you been hanging with me, Brother James? What Brother Gray?
So with the potentially
you got Brother Alton, Brother Daryl Bryan, Brother Smothers.
Brother Nick, Brother Smothers.
The only thing I gotta say, Pastor Page, is I ain't going back in time. I think God done blessed me. Before I'm at right now, up to 82 years old, I done been through sin. He done blessed me to everything all the way to where I'm at right now. And I just thank the Lord for what he has done for me through the past, because through the past, I was trying to live back in the past. But the Corona tree, he says, think about the future, not the past. So why should I try to live back yonder when I'm God above me to where I'm at right now? I've been in this book 83 years, never been a fight in my life, never had no problem with nobody. God has brought, I just now get sick of this book. Never been sick, you know? So God has been good to me, man. I mean, I could, if I had wings, I'd just fly to him, but, you know, how good he been to me. My family, good. Everything's been good. So I don't have nothing to, I don't have one incident that I feel bad about. I don't know why he do that. But that's the only thing I have bad feeling about. But other than that, God has been good to me, man. God has been excellent good to me.
Well, amen. Well, thank the Lord. You never been to the hospital, Brother Brent?
Excuse me?
You never been to the hospital?
I've been to the hospital. Let me see what I did. I went to the hospital when I had, I didn't stay to the day. Because I had my press in my mouth. So,
that in Hayterville, Alabama, then you go to school, then you go to the hospital in Hayterville one time?
Hayterville?
Yeah, no. Where no... Ain't hardly no black people up there. You went to the hospital up there?
No. No.
Okay.
No.
All right. All right, then. Who else left, sister?
I done been in places, pastors, that people talk about. You know, man, that man is bad. He is. You don't want to go in there. I went in the same place that people complain about. Went to that place, and the man treated me like I said. He ain't said nothing to me. I give him whatever he want me to do, and he never said nothing. Never said a word. I said, "How you doing?" And thank you. That's all he ever said. But that's why I said, Lord, no. And let me tell you, man, Pastor, I've been in some plays bad, man. I've been in some bad plays and never had no trouble.
Amen. Well, bless God. Bless God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's see. Is Brother Anthony left? We're going to try to get out of here now. So we're trying to get to the
Brother
end of it.
Here, Bill Bryant.
That was.
Oh, that was Daryl? Okay. Brother Alton. Brother Alton's here.
Brother Alton, you got
Yeah, I'm here. I really don't have anything to say I got the same story that everybody else got. It ain't no different. You know, I just praise the Lord and just keep it moving. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I mean, you know, like I said, I got the same story as everybody else. And what that brother was saying, I'm not right in the frame of mind to go backwards. You know, right now I'm chugging forward. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, thank the Lord, you know, for what I have. I'm married now. I'm 62 years old. I just got married about 4 or 5 months ago. And me and my wife bought a house out here in Tracy. And, you know, we have ups and downs like everybody else. So, you know, now, you know, we read the word almost every night before we go to bed. And, you know, that's it pretty much. You
man,
know, I just thank the Lord, man. I just thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord. You know,
amen. Praise God. He got a lot to tell y'all, but anyway, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tell what happened to you guys.
It's the same thing. It's the same. Sister Denise, you know, it's the same thing that everybody else has said already.
Hallelujah.
I've been through all that. I lived in Oakland. I've been through all that. You know, ain't no need in going backwards. You know, I thank the Lord for the things that he's blessed me with today, and I'm going to keep going forward. You know, don't, I mean, you know, I understand what Sister